Elissa Walker Campbell to deliver sports the way you want it. Big names, bold interviews, beyond the X's and O's. Think big. The Big E Sports Show.
Elissa Walker Campbell, we are cruising through the summer months, and you know what that means? The start of the college football season is just a few weeks away, and in our next segment, we're going to focus on the Big 12 Conference, specifically the University of Texas. It is their turn to have the spotlight shined on them, and our leading source for the Texas Longhorns, of course, is Steve Habel. He is the associate editor with Horns Illustrated, does an outstanding job covering this team, and Steve, it is always great to have you back on the program. I think the last time we had an opportunity to catch up, you were getting ready to pack your bags and head over to Ireland. Is that right?
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate the being on the show again, and I've been traveling a lot with my golf, and now we're concentrating on football for a little while here, and looking forward to that too.
That's right. Steve is a national correspondent for Cyber Golf, and he always provides some great stories in the world of golf. Hopefully we'll have enough time, Steve, today to maybe delve into a little bit of that, but right now our focus is on your Texas Longhorns, and last year Mack Brown had a very young team, and this year in 2012 they have a very young squad as well, and folks want to know, is Texas back? I mean, because it seems like the expectation levels are back to normal.
Well, Elissa, the word around Austin is that anything worse than a 9-win season here would be a disappointment. And I mean, the Longhorns have a tough schedule with the new teams coming into the Big 12. They've got a tough schedule with the teams already in the Big 12. But if you're going to get the Longhorns, it was probably in the last couple of years when they are rebuilding. They've actually made the transition now to a team that depends on defense again and will be opportunistic on offense and run the ball more, shorten games. So it'll be it's a different world here than when Colt McCoy and Vince Young were here, but there's every indication that the Longhorns are back and ready to really make an impact on the national scene.
Well, Steve, as you had just said and indicated, the fans, their expectation is that they've got to at least win 9. But how competitive do you anticipate the Longhorns will be? I mean, what, they've only got 4 seniors in the starting lineup, is that right?
They've got 10 scholarship seniors, and they expect 3 to be real starters. So they're young, but they're experienced because of what's happened over the last couple years.
Okay.
The real question for Texas will be quarterback. It's what everybody's talking about here. At Horns Illustrated, we even mulled over putting on the cover a picture, kind of like of a combo picture of David Ash and Case McCoy, with a bunch of squares. You know, you see those things at games sometimes.
Yes.
But, you know, now we decided not to do that. But it's just they're going to have to ask the quarterback to be more game managers. They will have to make some plays in the game, but with the way that Texas should run the ball, if they have their healthy running backs, Malcolm Brown, Joe Bergeron, and the freshman Jonathan Gray, they should be able to control the game and turn it over to their defense to win it.
Okay, Steve, my sources tell me that the front runner so far in the quarterback position is David Ash. Who, in your mind, is going to control the offense after an 8-5 season last year?
Well, I think that everybody around Texas that has covered him thinks that Ash is the guy. He took every snap in the Holiday Bowl last year that Texas won. But the coaches are not ready to hand that job to him. Case McCoy has been rumored to be neck and neck with Ash. McCoy's put on 15 pounds of muscle in the off season. He looks bigger. You know, that means he weighs all of 200 pounds now. But he's a tough kid. He's got a lot of good leadership qualities. And, you know, if you could morph those two guys together with Ash's strong arm and ability to read the defense and McCoy's leadership abilities and intangibles, I mean, you could have a complete quarterback. And I'm not really ready to say that Ash is going to be the starter. I think everybody else is, but I'm not ready to say that yet.
Steve, why is Mack Brown not in a hurry to declare a starter at this point? I mean, what are perhaps the pending question marks in regards to David Ash?
Well, I don't think it's just David Ash as much as it is both of them together. I mean, if McCoy was just not a viable option because he was so bad, or just the opposite, if Ash was not a viable option, then they wouldn't have a problem. It would just, one guy would just be way ahead of the other. I don't think that, you know, it's pretty hard to ask a true freshman kid to come in and play in the Big 12 Conference, which is what they asked Ash to do last year. And he did well on some games. You know, McCoy did well in some games, had a great game against A&M, led him down to the win with his feet and some intangible plays at the end of the game. And then he had a great first half against Baylor, but then he threw 4 interceptions and 5 turnovers in that game. So he, you know, you just kind of get a mixed bag with those guys. You just don't know who's going to be on, and hopefully that little bit of the uncertainty will be gone now that those kids are a little older.
A lot of curiosity on my part. Tell me more about Case McCoy, and I often wonder about what kind of influence that his bigger brother has, Colt, obviously now being in the NFL, and just such a prolific career that he had at the University of Texas.
Well, it's hard to compare the two, really, honestly, beside the fact that their name is McCoy. I mean, Colt had a really strong arm, had a lot of the same leadership skills that Case aspires to, and Case is determined to tell you that he's as good a quarterback as his brother is, and that's something that was ingrained with him from his father, you know, that nobody was better, and as long as you work hard, you can get to a point. And we know that Colt was certainly able to do that at Texas. I don't know if Case has the physical tools that Colt had, but he does. He's influenced a lot by his brother. There's no doubt about it. It's obviously a sibling rivalry, and he wants to be as good as Colt was and wants to make his mark at UT.
Steve Habel is with us this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. We want to direct you to our radio website. That is eradiosports.com. And we love hearing from all of you. Info, at eradiosports.com. Now, Texas, they certainly have a lot of talent. But give us the pulse defensively, because typically, Mack Brown teams, they are very strong in the defensive category.
Well, this team is really built around their edge rushers. Alex Okafor, who was a first-team All-American last year from the Sports Writers, National Sports Writers Group, and Jackson Jeffcoat, Jeffcoat, the guy who played for Cowboys, Jim Jeffcoat's son. They're really great speed rushers from the outside. They've got some kids on the inside that can plug things up and let those guys go get them. They've got great secondary play. Texas always has great play in the secondary, and their cornerbacks are solid even though they're young. Quandre Diggs, who's the brother of Quentin Jammer from San Diego Chargers, has a great one-on-one cover guy, as is Carrington Bynum on the other side. But the leader of the defense, in my opinion, is Kenny Vaccaro. He's a free safety or a nickelback. The vocal guy, real emotional guy, will knock the crap out of you if he can get to you. And likes to tell people that he'll do that. So, you know, they're a team. They're not as wild and crazy as they were when Will Muschamp was here a couple of years ago. But Manny Diaz, their defensive coordinator going into his second year, has really got them focused and playing well and thinking they can stop anybody. During our initial press conference on last Sunday, Vaccaro was saying that he didn't care where they put the ball down, where the offense gives the other team the ball. If it's at his own 10, those defensive guys are going to stop them. They know in their mind that they're going to make the stop. So we like that kind of attitude around here. And, you know, they may have the talent to do it.
I was going to say, Steve, you got to love that confidence, that swagger when you're talking about Kenny Vaccaro and also Jackson Jeffcoat. And these are guys, I mean, I know you have high praise for them, but they've been recognized around the conference. They were, what, all first-team selections last year, correct?
Yes, ma'am. They, you know, the defense is not a question mark for me yet.
I agree.
They lost some seniors, and they lost some guys, have lost Blake Gideon in the secondary. They lost two linebackers that were their leading tacklers, but they've got guys that can step up in that. And just the fact that they were able to play some last year and even some the year before, they've got some experience under their belt. And Manny Diaz does a great job of coaching these guys up. I mean, he puts on his cleats and he gets in there in the line with them and shows them how he wants it done. And if he could put on a uniform, I think he'd do it. So they really reflect his confidence, and they're really going to be fun to watch, I think.
Okay, Steve, I'd love to get an injury update and report on specifically Jackson Shipley. Of course, his freshman season was cut short by a knee injury, but was ready to go by the time preseason practice began, correct?
Shipley's going to be fine. He will be a huge impact player on this team. One of the guys that was hurt last year that we really expect to make a big impact this year as well is John Harris. He's from up in your neck of the woods, up in the Garland area, but he hurt a foot in the early part of the year and was out for the rest of the year. He's a real, he was a quarterback in high school and made some great plays for Texas early in the year last year. And just to have another guy that the quarterback, whoever it is, can go to in situations. And, of course, Texas also is going to be able to throw the ball to Marquise Grissom this year, who's just finished with his stint in the Olympics. He finished 10th in the high jump, so he's the 10th best high jumper in the world. Long jump, excuse me, and he uh, he's getting back, and he's getting a full fall workout this year instead of just 3 days like he had last year. So he'll be a definite threat for the Texas offense.
Texas, of course, finished 8-5 last year, 4-5 in Big 12 conference play. They are a team that, you know, desire to get back in the top 10. As you step back and you just take it all in, you know, all the pieces of the puzzle, trying to get this, you know, get back up to that high level, that elite level, what is the biggest area of concern for you, Steve?
Well, Alyssa, I think the only area of concern is really the leadership situation. I mean, we think that Texas has the people in place on the defensive side to be leaders, and their offensive guys with Goodwin and Mason Walters, the offensive tackle, is they've got all got leadership qualities. But, you know, your team kind of runs the way a quarterback pulls it, and we never can tell. If you don't know if you're from week to week, if you're going to be the starting quarterback on a team, it's really hard to be the leader, I think. That question is always a concern around here because, as we all know, the starting quarterback for the University of Texas is probably – at least as popular, if not more so, than the governor of the whole dang state. So, you know, a lot of pressure on those kids. So that to me is the major question mark for this team, is who's going to be able to take the snaps, who's going to make the plays from the quarterback position that they need to win.
Okay, my final question for you, Steve. What do you anticipate? I mean, what kind of record or what kind of finish do you think that Texas will have this year?
I've got Texas going 9-3. I think they'll lose, they could even go 10-2. I think I predicted 9-3. I think they may have some people that would sneak up on them. There's always those trap games, and I don't know if they're strong enough to escape trap games. That's like a Tech game in Lubbock, or, you know, Oklahoma ran into that last year. And, you know, the Red River Shootout's going to be a good game. You know, it's hard to predict that Texas is going to beat Oklahoma at this point in that game, but you never can tell with injuries. And you would think that they might lose another along the way to a West Virginia or a TCU or even a Baylor. I'm not convinced that Baylor's going to leave the way they played last year. They still got a lot of great players on that team. So it's going to be a fight for Texas in the conference. I don't know if West Virginia and TCU are as strong as a lot of people think they are, and I like to see how they do in the conference for a whole year before I make any judgment about how great those teams are going to be here. But Texas, I think they're in the running for a major bowl. I mean, I don't know if they'll be a BCS contender, but I think they'll be a major bowl contender.
Of course, Texas' season will get underway September 1st against Wyoming, and we will definitely mark down the calendar. We want to have you back and give us the pulse on your Texas Longhorns. Thank you, Steve, so much for dropping by. And we also got to talk some golf next time around, too, okay?
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you having me on.
You bet. We're going to step aside. Much more straight ahead this weekend on the Big E Sports Show. Stay close.